In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I am your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you are listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. It's so great to be with you today. I'm so excited. Why? Because it's Wednesday. That means it's Word of God Wednesday on Beacon of Truth. Grab your Bibles, because we are breaking open the Word of God. We're looking at John 3:16-36. Now, of course, everybody knows that famous line, John 3:16. That's the one they hold up on all the banners and at the football games and stuff like that. But we're going to go beyond John 3:16 and look at the theme that Jesus discusses about life and light. Right? Life and light. The juxtaposition of darkness and light, life and light. And so we want to hear from you today how God moved you from a place of darkness into his beautiful, wonderful, merciful light. And that's what we're going to be talking about today on Beacon of Truth. Grab your Bibles, Word of God Wednesday, John 3:16-36. If you want to share with us how God moved you from a place of darkness to a place of light, 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986. Or you can send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com. Or you can text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for a response, then text us your first name and your brief question. Remember that message and data rates may apply. So where in the world am I? Well, I'm actually back home now. For the past several days, I was doing two parish missions, both in Maryland, one at a parish in Hydes, Maryland, and then in Bryantown, Maryland. And now I got on a flight from Washington, D.C., flew all the way across the country, and now I am back home in Portland and in time here to do the show today, which I'm always happy to do. So where in the world am I? Take a look at my website, deaconharold.com. Just click on the schedule in the header, and you can see where I'm going to be in the next month, 2 months, 3 months. Or if you want to join us on pilgrimage, click on the pilgrimage tab. We got some amazing pilgrimage opportunities coming up beginning this year in December. We're going to Italy, the tour of Italy. We're starting in Rome and making our way up to Venice, and some incredible opportunities for next year. So take a look at that as well. Now, when I landed today, you know, I turned the airplane mode off, and I received a message that that Al Cresta, who everybody knows, I mean, he's one of the greats of Catholic radio, no question, no doubt, is nearing the end of his life, you know, with cancer, his battle with cancer. So I want, if everybody out there as part of EWTN family, you know, and a part of Ave Maria family as well, could say a prayer for Al. If you remember him in your prayers tonight, we were praying together with your family, I'm going to remember him in a special way. Well, he's not dead yet, but I mean, I'm going to remember him in a special way in my Vespers tonight, and I'm going to dedicate my rosary to Al Cresta tomorrow too, that as he begins this last leg of his journey on earth, that the Lord will shine his light, as we're talking about today, his beautiful light on Alan, and give consolation to his family in these last few hours. So, because, you know, we're all going to be there one day. We're all going to be at this place where we're about to meet our Lord. You know, so I pray that Al will be in a good place, that he'll be surrounded by his family and friends, and that please, let's all keep him in our prayers. I always loved my time whenever I was with Al. I loved being interviewed by him. He's one of the best interviewers I've ever had. Just profound questions. And almost like he looked into your soul, like he knew what to ask. And every question, I'd be like, ooh, that's a good question. Ooh, I didn't think about it like that. You know, just Al had that gift to be able to bring something out of the person that he's interviewing. right, so that the listeners benefit greatly from a beautiful dialogue and discussion. So please remember him as in his last leg here on his journey. He's, like they say, Paul says, he's almost finished running the race. So let's help him get to the finish line with our prayers. The other thing I just wanted to mention, I definitely want Ace to jump in on this one. You know, I don't watch television. I listen to a lot of music. And someone sent me a song. It's not in my genre, but it's fine. You know, they know I appreciate and like music. And so they let me listen to the song. And I was listening to it, and I said, oh, I'm not familiar with this artist. Who is it? And they said, well, it's AI. I said, wait, what? It's AI. It wasn't actually a person. It was this computer-generated music. But it sounded like a song that you would hear on the radio.
Yeah.
And so I'm saying to myself, oh, no. I knew, obviously, with technology and AI, I mean, AI is all over the place. You know, almost in every single, you know, with phones now and you know, when you make a call to a customer service, you're probably talking to a computer, probably not talking to a real person. And now with music, and here's what concerns me about the music piece. You know, we can't, well, if AI is a concern in the sense that we don't want to lose our identity and our humanity. You know, we don't want to give up our humanity. We don't want to succumb to technology. We don't want technology to replace humanity, to replace authentic creativity and feelings and all those things that go into music that make a song, passion, emotion. And I don't think that you can take something like that and formalize it.
Right.
You know, a computer, I want a song like this, or I want to, you know, here's my picture, make me look like this. You know, it's all fake. You know, it's not real. And, you know, and I mean, you see all these dystopian type movies about these futures where, you know, like let's start with the Terminator series, right? With Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, computers taking over. And it was, everybody's like, laugh, it's a joke. And I'm not saying that we'll get to that point, but it seems that in this early development of AI, and as it continues to advance very quickly, that we have to be careful as people of faith not to lose our souls to this type of technology that will do things for us or make life easier for us. That's great.
Yeah.
But when it comes to music or art or beauty and creativity that comes from the soul, you know, I'm concerned that we're heading down a road we're going to lose that.
Well, I will say this. I've heard some of those AI songs. I don't necessarily know the one particular that you're talking about, but there's more than one already.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
But the thing in, like, especially like for my teenage son who's learning to like create his own music and stuff, I'm like, you know, your apps are great and creating loops and samples is fine, but you also need some theory. You need to know chords. Mm. You have the same 12 notes that have been from the beginning of time, and you can learn and interpret them in any way that you choose to evoke your emotion. But the thing that AI will never have is they will never have the emotion, even though they can try to understand the heart. It's just not going to happen. But as much as we push to one side, I believe it will only push everyone to the other at some point, because it will feel so fake and it will be so plastic that there'll just be no heart in it. And the great thing about music is it's not about how loud it is or what genre it is. It's a matter of how does it make you feel? And and regardless of the kind of song it is, that's where I believe God can speak to us, because when we're in our most stubborn places, it's a song I know for me that broke down some of my walls so that I could hear from him. And they weren't worship songs. They weren't hymns. They weren't of the church. It was something I needed. And I don't remember what artists they might have been at the time, but I remember feeling those walls come down. And that is something AI will never be able to recreate.
Yeah, agreed. And you know, I also feel the same way with regard to other forms of creativity, writing essays. Like, you know, right now, I mean, there was a joke on that. I think there's that one television commercial I saw where the AI's writing the paper for the kid. He goes, oh, don't worry. Don't you have homework tonight? Oh, don't worry. I'll just let AI do it or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I hear that college professors now are using technology to screen papers to make sure that they're not being generated by AI. You know, so instead of where's the human creativity and research and the thirst and desire for knowledge, not just a desire to get a good grade in a class or just let AI do it because I'm lazy.
Yeah.
I mean, we can't, I'm just nervous, especially with this generation of young people who are basically being taught at these higher education institutions. They're being told what to think and not how to think. And AI, sadly, is contributing to that not thinking. Where's your passion, creativity, and drive to learn, to grow, to say, I created this with my mind and my hands and my heart? You know, anyway, we could do a whole show on that.
I feel you 100% on that, brother.
All right, Word of God Wednesday on Beacon of Truth. Grab your Bibles. We're taking a look at John chapter 3, verses 16 to 36. Light and life on Beacon of Truth.
No AI in the creating of this music.
Yeah, love it. Love it, man. You're picking some good stuff, man. This is good music here.
You keep giving good me stuff. You keep giving me this, you know, this plateau to hit every day. So I feel like it just raises and only challenges me. So
that's right.
I take that on.
The one thing, Ace, no AI.
That's
I'm speaking the truth.
No way. I can't do it. I will bring instruments in here and play for you before I will let that happen.
Amen. We're listening to Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, and it is Wednesday on Beacon of Truth. That means it is Word of God Wednesday. Grab your Bibles. We're taking a look at John chapter 3, verses 16 to 36 with the theme of life and light. So if you want to... We'd love for you to hear from you and tell us how God has moved you from a place of darkness to a place of life and light in your own life. We'd love to hear from you today on Beacon of Truth, 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986. And I love doing this show because it's brought to you by some amazing people that you can't see. You can see me on YouTube, and you can see Ace, but you can't see Matt Kabinski screening the calls or Charles Berry doing social media, but you can't see producer extraordinaire Ace McKay.
Well, we appreciate it, and we want to say big congrats this week to David Bryan and his team at Two Hearts Catholic Radio, along with Real Presence Radio. They are not only our friends, but they've been a part of the EWTN radio family at KXYM 98.9 in North Dakota. So they are celebrating 9 years with EWTN, so congratulations to David and the team.
All right. It is now time for us to break open God's Word on this Word of God Wednesday, first in the Psalms. And today we're looking at Psalm 119, the noon strophes, which are verses 105 to 112. So 119 is a extended meditation on the law of God. Right, so it's by far the longest psalm in the Psalter, and it's broken into 22 different sections representing the 22 different letters of the Jewish alphabet. So the section we're looking at today is Nun, the Hebrew letter Nun, which is the 14th letter of the alphabet. Again, verses 105 to 112, Psalm 119. And again, we're looking at John 3 today, verses 16 to 36, the theme of life and light. And when you hear how this psalm begins, you will know why we are picking this particular psalm for our reflection on the Soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth, which you can find on your favorite podcast download, which for me, of course, is EW10PodcastCentral.com. So the psalm starts in verse 105. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. All right, let's just take a look at that first verse 105. Your word, not just the word that is written, because remember, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. John 1:14. The word became flesh and dwelt. So Jesus Christ, the fullness of God's revelation, the word, is the lamp for our feet and a light for our path. Remember, this was predicted in the beautiful Benedictus. The dawn from on high shall break upon us to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. So whenever I pray this psalm, and the psalm comes up in the divine office, the liturgy of the hours, my mind immediately goes to Zechariah and that beautiful Benedictus prayer, where Jesus Christ is the light. He's the dawn from on high, who lights our path, who lights our way to heaven. I have sworn an oath and affirmed it to obey your just judgments. So this idea of oath swearing, and Scott Hahn talks about this all the time, the idea of swearing an oath, which means in Hebrew to seven oneself, right? And so this idea of taking an oath, so like our baptismal promises, our ordination vows and promises, our wedding promises, right? So we swear this oath before the Lord, and we affirm that oath to obey God. Now, this is not the kind of obedience like a pet. You know, you call your pet, come here, BJ. Our dog's named Billy Joel. I did not name him, so don't blame me for that. It's my wife. Seriously. But it's not that kind of obedience. It's more, the thing of it is in the Latin, obedire, which means to listen with the heart. See? So we're listening to God. We're obeying God out of love. The same type of love that Jesus tells us, that Jesus prayed for in the Garden of Gethsemane. Not your will, but my will. That complete gift of self and obedience to the law of the Lord. The law that leads us to the life that we're going to be looking at today on Word of God Wednesday. It continues in verse 107. I am deeply afflicted, O Lord. By your word, give me life. I love, here we go. So what are we afflicted by? Sin. And the worst effect of sin, which is death. Right? So this, again, when I pray, again, not just read the psalm, pray the psalms. When I'm praying the psalm, again, my heart is taken to the cross. You know, to see what Jesus did for us, that sign of, not sign of defeat, but a sign of conquering the power of sin and death. We are afflicted and burdened by sin, and is the word, again, not just the Bible, but the word that became flesh, who gives us the light to bring us out of that sinful spiritual darkness.
Yeah, there's actually a song from Amy Grant called Thy Word from one of her earlier albums. I think maybe Age to Age, maybe a different album. But anyway, Thy Word is the song, and literally lifts this section of Psalms, and she writes around it. So I remember, and even in the early days of contemporary Christian music, for those who were there, like, it was all about the cool guitars and drum beats. But this one was just her, very simplistic, with, you know, piano, and it just, you know, her doing her voice. I mean, at like 21, 22 when she started, but it's that simplistic, you know, psalm sounding voice, what I would call that, just, you know, you and God, right? It's like, Lord, hear me in that. I'm crying out to you. Help me through the things I'm facing. So as we talk about ways to take the psalms and tie them into our prayer life and songs and music, there are plenty that artists have taken the songs and, you know, made them our own so we can recall them when we need them in those moments.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, there's a number of songs. Growing up as a kid, one of them was Eagle's Wings. Mm. You know, you who dwell in the shelter of the Lord, and abide in the shadow. I mean, taken right from the Word of God, right from the Scriptures.
Yep.
Yeah, great. It continues in verse 108. Except, Lord, my freely offered homage. Right? Again, just these few strophes here, but they're so rich and so beautiful and so deep. Accept, Lord, my freely offered homage. The key word, freely offered. Right? Again, when I pray that psalm, it draws my mind and my heart back to Genesis chapter 2, where the Lord said to Adam in the garden, you may freely eat of the trees, the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat, for the day you eat of it, you shall die. So this free, you may freely eat, because why? That's one of the tenets of covenant relationship. Covenant relationship is based on a relationship of self-giving, self-sacrificing love that is free and faithful and total and fruitful. It's a love that gives everything. It's a love that holds nothing back. Why? Because Jesus held nothing back of his love for us from the cross. He gave everything. So we offer our homage, our love freely, because it's a gift. Look, love that's freely given has to be freely reciprocated, or else it's not love. Right? I mean, it's not love. Love is not use. Love is not force. Love is the free, faithful, total, and fruitful gift of self. Accept, Lord, my freely offered homage and teach me your decrees. Right? Not, I'm going to live the way that I believe, or I'm going to live the way according to the thinking and mind of the world, or whatever. The way the world is thinking, whatever trend is happening. No, I want you, Lord, to teach me your decrees. I want to live according to your word. I want my life to be in accord with your will, God. Right? That's what is being prayed for here. Love it. It continues. God, these are so beautiful. My life is in my hands at all times. I do not forget your law. Wow. My life is in my hands at all times. You know, again, that beautiful freedom to recognize that life is a gift and I can use that gift for good or for evil. You know, we have choices that we can make, and God always wants us to freely choose him. That's why the psalmist says, I do not forget my, I recognize my life is in my hands. That's why I don't forget your law, so I can continue to walk that straight and narrow path to freedom and love. For me, the wicked have set a snare, yet I do not stray from your precepts. I love it. See, the psalmist is saying here, look, when I follow your law, there are going to be people out there going to use their freedom not to follow you. But because I'm making the free decision to follow your law, God, I am not going to stray from your precepts. We may be tempted to stray from God. You know, we may be lured away by the pleasures and desires of the culture. But the psalmist is reminding us here, let us not stray from the precepts of the Lord. And finally, your decrees, God's decrees, your decrees, O Lord, are my heritage forever, not till the next passing fancy, not till the next trend of the culture, right? You are the joy of my heart. I incline my heart to carry out your statutes forever to the end. Love it. Amen. Grab your Bibles, my friends. We're looking at John 3. Verses 16 to 36, Life and Light, Word of God, Wednesday on Beacon of Truth. Yeah. Feeling it, man.
Don't underestimate three chords on a bass.
That's right. You know what makes that powerful is the staccato feel.
Yeah.
Bum, 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 bum. Just the real definition of each note. You can feel each note being played.
Yeah.
You know, I love that. I love it, especially on bass.
Sure.
Because it really pops.
Yeah.
You know, when you're playing that way.
And the drummer's keeping it simple, which I like. Just, you know.
Yeah. And a little bit of percussion. A little percussion in there, too.
Yeah.
Yep. To fill it out.
Just
a little simple arrangement, but powerful. Your layers, exactly. It's like cooking, right?
Right.
When you start cooking, you add this, you add salt, you add this spice, mm-hmm. you add this thing, because you're building layers of flavor.
Yep.
And it's no different than with music.
That's right.
Yeah. Love that.
We
love
in the kitchen
that.
Today.
That's right. I mean, no AI today, brother. Tell
That's
you
right
now. We listen to Beacon of Truth on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. And it is Wednesday. That means on Beacon of Truth with me, your host, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers. It's Word of God Wednesday. So we're breaking open God's Word in John chapter 3, verses 16 to 36 with the themes of life and light. So we'd love to hear from you. How has God, as we go through these scriptures, as we go through John chapter 3, tell us how God has moved you from a place of darkness into a place of life and light. We'd love to hear from you to connect your life more deeply to God's word. 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986.
I want to let you know that if you want to understand each week's mass readings much clearer and with a unique perspective, the Word on the Word, available at EWTN's Podcast Central, also a weekly feature on my show, Catholics Coast to Coast. If you want to catch up on recent readings and you want to maybe even make sure you subscribe so you don't miss what's to come, check us out, EWTN.com/radio, and click on Podcast Central.
All right. So sometimes people ask me which version of Bible I use for these Word of God Wednesdays. And it's the Revised RSVCE, Revised Standard Version Catholic Edition, which Catholic Edition basically means has all the books of the Bible in it, including the seven books of the Old Testament that our Protestant brothers and sisters don't have in theirs. So that's the one that I'm using. So let's dive right into it. Again, if you want to share with us how God has moved you as we go through John chapter 3, as we look at these beautiful themes of life and light, how God moved you from a place of darkness into a place of life and light, we would love to hear your testimony, to hear your story, to hear your witness on Beacon of Truth, 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986. All right, let's dive in. First of all, the famous verse that everybody knows, that they hold up at football games, you see all the signs, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God sent his son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. That's important, because the church teaches, Jesus teaches, no one comes to the Father except through me, period, right? So the earthly mission of Jesus is part of God the Father's heavenly plan, who, in doing so, he's showing up the depth of his love through the sacrifice of his son. Right, that's what that verse is all about. It's not about the quarterback being the one that's going to lead this to the victory or lead you to the Super Bowl or whatever. This is about God sacrificing his son to lead us to salvation. And John, of course, this is an important theme in John. In fact, he brings it up again in his first letter. And interestingly enough, 1 John 3:16. So we're looking at the gospel, John 3:16. But in John's first letter, also verse 3:16, 1 John 3:16, he says, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. Wow, love that. Because what's John doing there? He's tying in the greatest commandments. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. following in the footsteps of Christ. That's what it means to be a disciple. A disciple hears, accepts, and puts into practice in their life every day the teachings of Jesus Christ, and lives that out every single, not just pay lip service to it, not just talk about it, but lives it out by the witness of his life every day through the power of self-giving, self-sacrificing love. Right? And Paul talks about this in Romans chapter 5:8. He says, but God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Right? So this, so John's, the Lord starts off this particular section in John's gospel talking about God so loved the world, he gave his only son. He's talking about himself. Now, he says that they may not perish, but have eternal life. So both the divine quality of new life in Christ, as well as its duration, is when we receive this gift already on earth in the hope of possessing it forever in heaven. So we talked about, you know, faith, hope, and love. We talked about hope earlier this week. So we see this hope. And what was the hope? The hope is in heaven. And so this hope in heaven is already received as a gift on earth. And in this promise of eternal life, if we're true to the teachings of Christ, if we follow him in love, that this is the hope that we will possess this love forever in heaven, right? And John also writes in 1 John 5:13, I write this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, right? So today on Beacon of Truth, we're breaking open God's word in John 3:16-36 with the themes of life and light. Would love to hear from you today on Beacon of Truth. We'd love to hear how God brought you from a place of darkness into a place of life and light. Your story, your testimony, your witness. 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986. And the text continues. He who believes in him is not condemned. He who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. All right? So unbelief puts us outside of covenant relationship with God. So to reject God is to reject the light of faith in favor of spiritual darkness and death. Ooh, let me say that again, because that's important. Unbelief puts us outside of covenant relationship with God, which is why we have to be an evangelizing church. We have to invite people to share in this life of Christ. That's why we remember when we're talking with people about our faith, that our interaction with them may be the first time that they are ever meeting Jesus. Is being introduced to Jesus is through us. Remember what Jesus says. Don't put your light under a bushel basket. Put it up on the hills so people may see the good works that you do and give glory to God. Right? And the catechism drives this point home. Christ is Lord of eternal life. Full right to pass definitive judgment on the works and hearts of men belongs to him as the Redeemer of the world. Right? So, and I've said this numerous times. What's the principle? We love everyone, but we always don't love their actions. If we judge actions, we never judge people. Only God is the judge. And the Father has given all judgment to his Son. Yet the Son did not come to judge, but to save and give his life as a gift, so that we can have life forever. See, that's beautiful. So we'd love to hear from you how God brought you from a place of darkness to his wonderful light. 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986. Just like Nicole has done, calling from Cocoa Beach, Florida, listening on Sirius XM 130. Nicole, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hi, thank you. So here's my story, and I'll say it fairly quickly. So from the age of 12 until the age of 30, I was on serious drugs, in and out of rehabs and jails, Rikers Island, the whole thing. Anyway, at 30 years old, I went to a year-long treatment facility. I became sober. I met my future husband. We had three kids, and I raised my children, homeschooling them, and I became Catholic in those years and started, you know, bringing them to church and really raising them in the Word of God, and I was doing very, very well. However, my husband didn't get well, and he put me through a lot of trauma through his addiction. And I ended up losing my sobriety, and it was right around my twins' first Holy Communion when I had lost my sobriety, and they made their first Holy Communion, and I bought them the Little Lives of the Saints book. And so my son was very, very taken by St. Joseph. He said, Mom, what is this novena thing here? What is this? And I said, oh, it looks like it's a 9-day prayer. And he, will you pray it with me? I said, yes. He was 8 years old. He would sleep with this little book under his pillow every night. It was the sweetest thing. And I kept praying to the Lord, Lord, please make me the mother that I was. Please release me from this hell. I can't live like this. I cannot put my kids through this. So after many evictions and homelessness and my children and I living out of hotels, the Lord saved us and he moved us to Florida. Oh, I'm sorry. I just need to put this big part in there. Right when I gave him the Lives of the Saints book, we were living in Prospect, Kentucky. And he said, Mom, if ever I become a saint, will they call me St. Francis of Prospect? And I'm like, that is just so cute. That is just so cute. What a little doll, and all three of my kids. Anyway, so the Lord finally saved us from that situation in Kentucky. We moved to Florida where my family kind of were trying to rescue us and help us out. And I didn't get better for some years later until finally I kept telling my children, the Lord is going to save us. I promise you, he's not letting me go down like this. He is going to make this better for all of us. I promise you. And we'd pray. And he did, and he saved me, and I became super on fire for the Lord. I'm talking on fire. And I started going back to the church and bringing the kids with me, adoration, and praying the rosary, and listening to Catholic radio the whole time, like EWTN and just everything, the sacrifice of the Holy Mass, the whole thing, daily Mass. Started praying the rosary with these wonderful ladies at my church. And the lady says, can you lead the rosary? You know, and here's the things. Every Wednesday, can you do it? I never even prayed a Hail Mary in my life. I didn't even know what I was doing, but I was like, I got to do this. She gives me the little pieces of paper, the consecration to St. Joseph, which we read every first Wednesday of the month. I take these little papers home, I look at them, and at the bottom, guess what? They were made in Prospect, Kentucky.
I learned
through all this Catholic radio and that I was saved while I was actually apprehended by Fugitive Task Force, but it doesn't matter. Like, I went to jail or whatever, but I got sober, and I learned it was March 19th in the year of St. Joseph. 2020.
Oh, beautiful. What a wonderful witness, Nicole. You know, and I mean, here's the thing. Sometimes when you share a testimony like that, people say, well, how is she able to overcome? Because people are so struggling with addiction, struggling with homelessness as a result of the addiction and the decisions that they make. But the way you shared it so beautifully, how God brought you, and as a witness to your own children, that who saw the struggle, who saw what you were going through, and giving, even while you're struggling, you're giving them the confidence that God will help us out of this. And for them to see your faith, your witness, and then to see what God did, what a powerful witness, not just for you, but for your children and for all of us. And again, you're the second person this week, Nicole. Judy was someone I met in Bryantown, Maryland, who also talked about how EWTN played an important role in helping to deepen and strengthen their faith as they're journeying into a deeper, more intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. So thank you so much for sharing, Nicole. Again, this is Word of God Wednesday on Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. We're breaking open God's Word, John 3, verses 16 to 36, with the theme of life and light. So if you would love to hear from you, to share with us your story, your witness, your testimony of how God brought you from a place of darkness into his wonderful, all-embracing light. The phone number to call today to be part of Beacon of Truth is 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986. On YouTube, Tycho sent a little note here. It says, you have no idea how much you've inspired me in my life. You are a true phoenix to come out of St. Benedict's in Newark, New Jersey. Well, God bless you, Tycho. You know, I'm just trying to be faithful. But, you know, a lot of the foundation that I have, my love for the office, praying the office every day, my love for adoration, love for silence, love for devotions, were all fostered during my time, not only as a student at St. Benedict's, but also my time discerning a vocation in the monastery as well. Well, let's go to Andrew, calling from one of the places I travel to quite often, besides Texas. That's number one. That's the place I go more than any other, but this state is a close second. Louisiana, listening on Catholic Community Media. Andrew, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
How you doing, Deacon Harold?
I'm doing well, Drew.
I was going to tell you, trying to be brief about my conversion / faith story. I grew up pretty much unchurched, and when I was 28, 29 years old, you know, I had life by the tail. You know, I was drinking, doing drugs, and so forth. My wife had enough sense to, unfortunately, divorce me. And her and my child, you know, 6-year-old daughter, were gone. And at that point, you know, I'm at a fork in my life. You know, a fork in the road. I have two choices. I can, you know, go the direction of drugs and alcohol, or at my brother's suggestion, look into religion. And I told him, I said, I don't believe in God. He's like, well, just go and see a counselor, right? So I go to a Baptist counselor and I talk to him. He gives me a copy of the New Testament. I go home and I start reading it. I mean, it was like a door, a huge door was open. I'd never heard any of this thing before. It made perfect sense to me. You know, the New Testament made perfect sense to me. I go back to the counselor and I'm like, this is beautiful. You know, I can see that Jesus loves us. God loves us. I was like, who's Mary? Uh-oh. I'm talking to a Baptist now. Who's Mary? She's just a sinner. You know, just somebody God used. I'm like, that doesn't sound right. You know, that really doesn't sound right. So I struggled as a Baptist for a couple of years with my crucifix and my thoughts of Mary, and so I met a young lady who insisted upon her mother was Sicilian, so there was no way she was going to be able to go to any church but a Catholic church. Deacon, I walk into this beautiful church in Kill, Mississippi, and the Blessed Mother statue is there. I knew I was home. I knew I was in the right place. You know, and immediately her mother is, you know, tutoring me and so forth. And I was like, you know, I want to be able to take communion. Well, you can't until you understand what it's about. It is the real presence. It is the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Well, you go to chapter 6 of John, and of course, Jesus says it. You know, this is my body. And he tells you, unless you gnaw on the flesh, you know, of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. So I knew I was in the right place. Started with my Catholic life, married a Catholic girl. It didn't work out. We separated, divorced, and we continued on our own way. I continued in the church. I am I'm now a lector, ordinary minister of Holy Communion. I helped bring a Bible study program to our church and the Come Lord Jesus program. You know, and I don't know if you know anything about it, but started by a Catholic priest in Lafayette. It's a wonderful program, Bible study. So anyway, all of these things happening, everything's going beautiful. I've had two shoulder surgeries in the past 10 years. Both times I was out of work for 3 months, then 4 months, you know, with not a dime coming in. I'm an electrician, so I work by the hour. And I was provided for. God took care of me. You know, I was concerned, but I never really worried. I stayed with God. I stayed with Jesus. You know, he says you stay in him, you know, like I stay in him. You know how it is. It's when you have that faith, you don't let those things overwhelm you. I'm facing disc replacement surgery here in the next 3 weeks. And again, I'm going to be out of work 3 months, no paycheck coming in. But you know what? God took care of me. He's already got it taken care of. Everything's in place. I've got a wonderful boss who takes care of me. Well, you know, my point is that, you know, even though I've had the struggles and so forth, I've maintained my strong faith in God. And the Eucharist, buddy, you know it yourself. That Eucharist is my life. Life.
Oh, man. Andrew, man, I'm so filled with joy. You know, as you were speaking, Andrew, you know the scripture that came to my mind? It's funny. The one I was hoping to look at today. Here's what it says. John chapter 3, verse 19, Andrew, says this. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Okay, so when we're sharing these experiences of the dark, this is where we used to be in our life. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. All right, but then here's the change, Drew, like you were just talking about. But he who does what is true comes to the light, that it may be clearly seen that his deeds have been wrought in God. That's what we're talking about today. And that's what the callers have been sharing so beautifully with us on Beacon of Truth. It's Word of God Wednesday. We're taking a look at John chapter 3, verses 16 to 36. And we want you to call in and share your story about how God has brought you from a place of darkness to light. And we're going to go to Mark from Wisconsin, listening on WSFI. Welcome to Beacon of Truth, Mark.
Hi, Deacon. You know, I had a story about coming from darkness into light. I'd been going through kind of a hard time with some anxiety and just a lot of stuff going in my life. And my wife, she would always be one to say, Mark, why don't you say a rosary? And I never took her up on it. I always thought that, you know, it wasn't for me. But I was at a point where I thought, well, what do I got to lose? I got all this anxiety. Well, I remember walking around my house, and I was saying a rosary, and my dog was next to me, and I finished the rosary, and I only knew how to do one mystery, and it was the sorrowful mysteries, even though it wasn't that day, but that's the only one that I knew. And I came away from it feeling so peaceful, and I told my wife how much peace I had, and she kind of like told me, well, I told you so. And I made a resolve. I told God that I would do a rosary every day of my life, and I haven't missed in 15 years. Keep saying a rosary every day. But it's a powerful, powerful weapon. And I just wanted to tell you that I felt compelled to call today when I heard your program.
Well, thank you, Mark. And thank you for talking about the power of the rosary. You know, it's not just recitation of a bunch of different prayers. We're offering ourselves, we're offering our lives, we're meditating on the deepest mysteries of our faith through the heart of the Blessed Virgin Mary, right? So we're uniting our prayers, again, meditating on Scripture. Hail Mary, full of grace, Lord is with thee. That's Luke's Gospel. And blessed art thou amongst women, blessed fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Elizabeth to Mary at the visitation. So we're praying Scripture, right? So I love that. Because why? Meditating on the deepest mysteries of our faith moves us from darkness to light. And as it also says in verse 26, it says that He must increase and I must decrease, right? That famous line by John the Baptist. And remember, he who believes in the Son has eternal life. He who does not obey the Son shall not see life. So let us continue to preach the beauty and truth of Jesus Christ. All right. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about the pilgrimage experience. We're going to talk about the power of pilgrimage. And remember, you can stream today's show by visiting Podcast Central at EWTN.com/radio. And may Almighty God bless you, keep you, and protect you until we're together again. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.